Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. So Black Friday means different things to different people, but for many craft beer connoisseurs, it means the highly anticipated release of the renowned Bourbon County Stout, which is a lineup of barrel-aged beers through special beer-centric Black Friday around the city and across the country. There's events everywhere. Now, 5 years ago, when Anheuser-Busch InBev, the world's largest beer maker, purchased Goose Island, there was one goal, and that was to put the full distribution firepower of the brewing giant behind America's most popular independent brand, and they've done just that. Now, before I introduced our esteemed brewers, I have two beer connoisseurs with me in studio for like the second or third year in a row, and one is Mr. Rob Martier. Rob, nice to see you, buddy.
It's good to be here.
And Mr. Sam Panionovich. What's happening, my friend?
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me again. Yeah, I've been waiting 364 days for this.
Right? We all have. We actually have. I was just telling these guys that for Thanksgiving, part of our tradition is playing football and then going and having some Bourbon County Stout. But being the fact that it's not released until the day after Thanksgiving, you can find it if you really want to, right? I mean, you can go out there and find the 2015 versions.
Oh, yeah.
And beyond.
Yeah.
For a price. And I have a case in the car ready to go. So I'm like ready and set.
Well, for Sam and I, we actually did a beer advent calendar counting down to today's show. So
I like that.
We kept going and opening it up.
I like that.
And I thought you said we had to drink a case before we got here.
Yes. Yeah. So yes, to warm you up.
Right.
That's
so
right.
I'm totally with the wind.
That's awesome.
I missed out on that one.
All right. Joining us in studio to talk about the Goose Island history and Bourbon County Stout is Tim Faith. He's the innovation brewer for Goose Island. Emily Cosmo, she is the brewer. And Bill Savage, he's the barrel warehouse manager and brewer. How you doing, everybody?
How's doing great.
So tell me a little bit first about the history behind Goose Island, Tim.
Yeah. So Goose got started in around 1988 by John Hall, our founder. He was basically in the container industry and found that he really wanted to get out of it and start something more interesting. So he opened up Goose Island Brew Pub on Clybourne in 1988, which was probably the first time in almost over 10 years a brewery had actually resided
in Chicago, in the limits. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, full disclosure, I think I was introduced to Bourbon County by Brett Porter. Yeah. The head brewmaster about 5 years ago, and I am a huge fan. And now this is what, 24 years of this tradition?
Yeah, just about
24, I think. Yeah.
Now tell us about the aging process and what we're going to sample and what we're going to be talking about a little bit, because this is very unusual that it's beer that is aged in bourbon barrels. So, you know, first of all, where do you source the bourbon barrels from? Where are you getting those from?
We get them from the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. So okay. Primarily Heaven Hill Distillery. Bill can definitely talk a lot more about that, though.
To you, Bill.
Thanks for setting me up there. Yeah. The vast majority of what we get is all from Heaven Hill Distillery. We've done a lot of work with the Beam Family Distilleries in the past, and we kind of have just continued doing that, more and more work with them.
And how long is the bourbon sitting in these barrels? Because, I mean, that's kind of what makes those barrels so special.
Yeah, so we typically used to only go with 6 to 8 year spirit age casks, and now we're kind of seeing that with, you know, more and more breweries popping up, it's harder and harder to get those specific barrels. Mm-hmm. So now we're kind of we found that doing our own trials at 4 year old plus are kind of our sweet spot casks.
Okay.
So anything that held spirit for 4+ years we'll take on.
And now tell us a little bit about Bourbon County and how you make it in these bourbon barrels.
Yeah, so we make a ridiculous imperial stout on our brew house, and then on to cellaring. It ferments within probably 2 weeks. And then once it's deemed ready, once it kind of hits ABV spec, all those kind of things, we basically just put it straight into really fresh bourbon casks. And then we let it sit and mature for anywhere between 9 and like 14 months.
Okay. So you're actually making next year's already? All right. That's how that works. So the ones that have been aging in my car since this morning, those are going to be pretty good then. But I mean, the longer you keep these, I mean, you know, so I mean, it's special to get a 2014, 2013 bottle as well.
Yeah.
Keeping it in a cool, dry place, of course.
Yeah. Different vintages kind of you start to get different characteristics as it ages in the bottle too, and you get that just the same as you would if it were aging in a bourbon barrel or elsewhere, but you pick up on different characteristics, obviously.
So at Goose Island, for doing this for 20-some years, what are the oldest bottles that you have there? I mean, do you have some of the original stuff there, or do you only go back 3-5 years? I mean, where's it go?
I think the earliest one I've ever had was probably 2006. I know there were, like, rogue batches of Bourbon County bottled in, like, 2004, but I've never seen it.
All right. Okay, so that's how far back that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Now, guys, Rob, Sam, now, what do you typically drink when it comes to beer?
Oh, wow.
Schlitz, Ham.
No, yeah, no, I've gotten off of
Schlitz.
Yeah,
no,
I've graduated from the Milwaukee's Best and, and Hams. But, yeah, no, I've always been a darker beer fan, and I also like IPAs.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Because I like that bitterness to the beer.
Okay. Any traditional beers? Because now I will tell you, when I go to a, even though I'm with you on the IPAs, I think the darker beers, this is what introduced me to the darker flavors, but I still will have an old style at a baseball game. I have to do it. Grandpa did it too. How about you, Sam?
I usually don't drink beer, actually.
Okay.
I'm actually more of a vodka tequila person, not together separately, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But
which you're going to have right
you
after
had
this.
Me in last year, and the reason I don't usually drink a lot of beer is because I get full. I'll have a beer or two and I get full. And I remember we did this last year. We ran the gauntlet and sampled 4 or 5 of them, and that wasn't an issue. So I think my eyes started to open up as I tried these out, and I've been sampling more. The one I do try is Allagash White.
Okay.
You know what Allagash White is? Yeah, I drink that sometimes, but usually I'm not a beer drinker, actually.
But am I right to say that from a beer perspective, this isn't, it isn't your typical beer? So, I mean, even if you're not a beer fan, you could become a big fan of Bourbon County.
I would say so. It's got a lot of different flavors going on.
Right.
It's anything
so
you think beer is, this probably isn't.
Yeah.
If
right.
you like spirits in any variety, I would say give it a shot, because it's typically, what, 14% alcohol?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even as beer, it's up there. So.
Which regular beer is what? What's the percentage usually in a regular?
Right around 5.
Yeah. Right around 5, yeah. So when you're sampling these things, it's pretty potent.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, one bottle is a good...
You're not going to drink a 30, right?
No, no. All right. So let's talk first about the original.
Yeah. So obviously, Bourbon County original, like Bill explained, ages for around like 9 to 14 months in the barrel. But a lot of the flavors that develop, or the foundation of the flavors that we get out of this beer, actually start in the brew house.
I'm smelling a little oak. I'm smelling a little chocolate. But the smells just, they just come out of nowhere.
Yeah. And it's a lot of that sweetness. So we're doing a double mash and a 4-hour boil. And what that imparts into the beer is it actually has a foundation of kind of like that Maillard reaction. You get a lot of that caramelization that you can't just get from the malt itself. You actually have to have that heat applied to the malt extract or the wort. And so what happens there is then we carry that on to the barrel aging process, which then parallels with those caramels. We get that vanilla, we get that coconut, we get that
a little smoky too.
Smokiness, leatheriness, tobacco, all from the charring effect on the inside of the barrel.
Wow. And so that's what we're trying to hear. What do you guys think?
Have good.
You
yeah, good.
Nice.
I like it.
Smooth. Yeah, right?
You know what? I see
for
this
being
with
a vodka and a tequila guy, I mean, this is a different thing.
It's
different.
Yeah.
I see this going with my pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like a dessert beer.
Oh, from a pairing standpoint. That's a great point. What do you drink this with? Like, if you're going to eat, is there pairings for all this?
Bourbon pecan pie.
Ooh.
Bourbon pecan
pie. Brownies.
Who does that? Does Bang Bang Pie do that? I can't remember who does the bourbon.
I'm sure they do. And if they haven't yet, they should.
I think why I love these beers so much, and again, we did it last year with you, Dave. I'm a bourbon drinker.
Right. You're right.
Which is
why
these beers, for me, are so fun. And just the range as
well. It's the best of both worlds, so to speak, right? Okay. Barley wine, what are we going to see here?
Yeah, so barley wine's kind of a little different this year from years past. We basically used to take a portion of what we consider fresh casks, so fresh from the distillery, so second use casks, and then we used to do a blending with used BCS casks, so the previous year's Bourbon County original. We would take those emptied casks and then use for the following year's barley wine.
For the barley wine.
Right. We didn't do that this year. These are all fresh bourbon casks, so it's not quite as viscous. It's not quite as like marshmallow sweet as years past. You still definitely get all of those characteristics, but you definitely pick up more bourbon characteristics.
Sorry, are you only using a barrel once?
Yeah, kind of the same as the bourbon industry at the moment. Yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not much more to say than that. No, this is nice.
I can't really tell that much of a difference, to be honest with you. Am I an alien for saying that? Can somebody straighten me out? I don't really taste the this is why I'm not a beer person.
There's a bite in this one, I feel. There's like a little something at the back of my tongue.
Actually some of the newer wood displaying itself. Traditionally, because we use second use barrels.
See, when you say that, like, I don't eat wood, so I don't know.
Why not? It's going to have a little bit more dryness at the end.
Okay, like, but you literally have to explain that because I'm stupid.
That's fair. Okay.
Well, when it comes to barley wine, we'll say. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So the difference really between the two are what in making these?
So the base beer is a completely different base beer. Okay. For barley wine, we're shooting for kind of the same targets. We're shooting for the same kind of alcohol range.
Same process.
Very similar
same
process.
Boil.
Yeah. Same, pretty much everything. The malt's a little different. It's a little bit more caramel rich. It's not as intensely. Tim, help me out here.
We took out a larger majority of the darker malts that would come off as more of that chocolate and roast.
Some of that astringent, like coffee characteristic that you would get off the first one. It's not as there, it's not as heavy. And then we also do quite a bit more hopping, so you get a little bit more of that kind of earthy kind of character.
And then when you say long boil, how much are we talking? How long is the boil?
Typically around 4 hours. For most beers, it's around an hour. So it's a lot of work and effort to put into this project.
Yeah, so at that point, most beers were looking to like sanitize the or sterilize the wort, have some sort of isomerization with the hops. With this, we're actually looking for flavor development and concentration of sugars.
Now, the youngest millennial in the room is still experimenting from a alcohol perspective. So, Joey, what do you think? What are the flavors you're seeing here?
I really like the barley wine, actually, and I'm not really a beer guy as well, but the barley wine has that nice kind of punch at the end, but it's not making me too full off the bat. Usually the first
I think
sip
that's the thing too that
gets
some
you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
For me, this barley wine one has a really good taste to it.
All right, the coffee. And I know you have a partnership with Intelligentsia.
Yeah, Chicago. Coffee is a very interesting variant. Every year we kind of collaborate with Intelligentsia. And
it smells like a cup of coffee.
It does.
And I'm not a coffee guy at all. I'm an iced tea guy. I think
our brewers are learning to be coffee people.
Okay. It creates a different flavor in here. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about it.
So each year we do a different variant of coffee. This year is actually a Costa Rican Highland coffee. We sent a couple of our brewers out to Costa Rica to hand select that coffee. And out of a blind selection, we unanimously chose this one, not just for the coffee itself, but also the potential it had with pairing with the beer. So the coffee actually has notes of like berry and some lemon,
but in
the beer it kind of brings out a lot more of that cocoa aspect, some of that caramel and nuttiness. So we do a cold brew with this. We don't add it in the hot side or in the brew house because the theory is we're going to kind of volatilize off a lot of those aromatics as well as add like astringency and bitterness. So by doing a cold brew, we can still lock in those really nice qualities of the coffee.
I almost feel like it smells stronger than coffee than it tastes.
Potentially, yeah.
Right? So it's a little more subtle. Do you notice that, Rob?
Well, not only am I a bourbon guy, but I'm also a coffee guy, which is why – well, coffee was my favorite last year.
So now you got coffee, bourbon, and beer in one thing. You're in heaven, man.
Which is fantastic. All right, so you say it's a cold brew coffee, but when do you put all the stuff together? I mean, when you pour it all into the –
The beer is finished barrel aging. We will tanker it back to our Fulton Street facility.
Okay.
We'll make our cold brew there, and then we'll blend it immediately onto the beer.
Okay. All right. What's always fascinated me, what kind of things are we talking about? How much stuff are you pouring in? I mean, how many gallons are you working with?
We're working with probably around 6,000 gallon tanks.
Wow.
And then out of the cold brew, it was a pretty heavy proportion. Okay. I think we used around 1,100 pounds of coffee.
The process has always fascinated me because you go from, obviously you guys have to experiment with it, right? Smaller. And then, but you want
percentages
to
have to be right.
Then you want to maintain that taste. So that you got to do you guys ratchet it up on kind of a graduated level, or do you just go from point A to point Z?
We do a lot of benchtop trials, and they all start with basically a 16-ounce glass.
Okay.
And scaling it up is both finding the balance between the infusion and the actual medium in which you're infusing. So this being Bourbon County.
That's got to be pretty tough. I mean, that's to take it from stage one to...
Ultimately, it's finding your ratio, like... Yeah. It's literally French pressing coffee through Bourbon County Original.
But you're tasting it along the way. I mean, that's the job a brewer. You're on the floor, and even though you're making that much at that same time, you're sampling it, and I'm assuming you're adjusting and changing until you get that exact flavor that you're looking for, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Emily, the big one. I'll get a drum roll going, Joey. The proprietors. Now, why this is so important is I know that there were tens of thousands of people who participated in a lottery for this Sunday for only like 750 seats to go to Goose Island and sample Bourbon County in general, but actually to be able to buy and sample the prop. And I'm excited because I get to go. but, I mean, think about that across the country, because when people are waiting in line for this, there's thousands of people waiting in line at a Binny's on Black Friday, like they would be waiting for the latest toy or whatever. They're waiting to get their beer. I mean, there's serious people all across the country doing this, right?
These are like the Cabbage Patch Dolls of beer.
The Furbies. I was going to say Furby.
Tickle Me Elmo.
Exactly, exactly right.
Yeah. Well, actually, I saw you guys wrote all the names on here, and the cup says prop. So I thought it was like literally a prop, like that chocolate with the toothpaste in it at Christmas. I thought it was like a gag cup or something. That's why I didn't want to drink it. But now that I know it's short for proprietor.
But this is like the cherished, what people are really, really, really waiting for. So, Emily, tell us a little bit about what this is all about this year.
So, Proprietors it's Chicago only. So, it's Goose Island's kind of a thank you gift to Chicago. This is what we make special just for our city. And every year, all the brewers submit different ideas, different benchtop recipes, and I was the lucky one this year.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
there's an internal competition to do this.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's neat.
Yeah. I mean, we all try to support and cheer each other on with this. We go through a process of evaluating and just making sure whatever ends up being chosen is the best it can be. So my inspiration for this one is, as we talked about with the original Bourbon County, there's a lot of naturally occurring flavors, the chocolate, vanilla, oakiness, char.
I don't even want to taste it yet because I know how special it is in this cup.
And
we're drinking out of styrofoam cups, by the way. These should be drunk out of...
It's nice to have the story right before you drink
it. But it should be... you should be drinking this out of snifters.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want to be doing. Don't drink it in styrofoam.
Well, you know, only in the radio station. We were pressed.
And on a college campus.
Wendy's must, right?
No one knows that they're on styrofoam.
That's true. Oh, no, I've got my snifter right here, Rob.
I've got a personal question for Emily, if you don't mind. Obviously, there's a lot of camaraderie in the, you know, the microbrewing these days and whatnot. Obviously, you're a woman. What attracted you to brewing?
I love beer.
Okay,
fair
enough.
Yeah,
because no, don't take that the wrong way, but you just don't see a lot of women in this profession.
No, you don't. And what's great about, at least for me, it's never been an issue for me in this industry. Goose Island doesn't make it an issue, and I don't. And your work speaks for you, really.
Yeah, it does.
And that's really what it should be, and how it should be.
Are more women coming into the brewing, or are they really slowly? Like, because I know a lot of women that love beer. I mean, my wife is one of them. So,
we have three brewers at Goose Island as female brewers. So that's pretty cool.
Ooh, this is really good.
This brewer was
fantastic. This is really like I've
super
tasted
smooth.
Nothing like that ever. And so, again, another bite at the end.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So as with original, there's a lot of flavors that are already there. I didn't want to go too far away from what Bourbon County Stout is. I just wanted to enhance what's already there. And for me, Bourbon County Stout is a great winter beer. It warms you up.
Yeah.
And it's always been great paired with cigars. And I more or less wanted to make Bourbon County Stout cigar. Yeah. And that's what this almost is. It's dark chocolate chipotle. And so a lot of cocoa nibs, dark chocolate cocoa nibs, dried chipotle peppers, which is where that little bit of smokiness and heat is coming from. The chocolate brings a lot of body and velvetyness to it. And what's special about this one is We used bourbon barrels that were also home to maple syrup, so bourbon barrel aged maple syrup from Bissell Farms. And so that there wasn't any added maple to this, but the what was clinging to the sides of the barrel definitely brings some body and a little bit of sweetness.
So how did you, where did that thought come to mind? You knew they existed and you thought, well, let's just try this.
Yeah, we had these wonderful barrels at our exposure. So why not bring them into this beer?
That's fantastic. And again, this beer releases to the public on Black Friday, but there are some Wednesday night events. There's a vintage night on Wednesday the 23rd. They, you know, and a lot of people go out the day before Thanksgiving and have some cocktails.
Black Wednesday.
If you're going out.
Yeah.
Which leads to a dark Thursday.
Which it does. And I'm filling in for Cochran on Thursday, and then I'm doing a 5K right after I leave this. So I don't know how much I'll be able to drink on Wednesday, but it's Timothy O'Toole's at 5 p.m., Bourbon County Stout Vintages. So you're going to get some classic Bourbon Counties. You're not going to get the new stuff yet. Beer Bistro on Madison at 7 p.m. This is all on Wednesday, right? Black Wednesday, Sheffield's, which I know is always part of this whole thing, at 7 p.m. And, Sheffield's is going to have the 2016 also.
Beer Bistro will as well.
And Beer Bistro, yeah. And then Jimmy's Grill in Naperville. So you're gonna trek out to the Burbs for a little beer, which is nice as well. And then Black Friday events, you know, this is the big deal. The Binnie's in Lincoln Park, beginning at 9 a.m. That's the big celebration, isn't it?
Yep.
Lincoln Park. Yeah. Binnie's has always been really great with
partners for you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have people waiting in line. They'll start there 2 days in advance.
And then Timothy O'Toole's again. Yeah. 2 days in advance. So there's people camping out for this stuff.
We'll have some swag for those people. We will.
I love that. Some swag.
We take care of them.
I love it. And then Friday night, also 7 to 10, Whirly Ball Chicago in Bucktown. Free Whirly Ball, Goose Island Beer. And then you can get some prizes, too. There's like a $150 Whirly Ball gift card, some tours and stuff like that as well, which is very cool. And you actually do tours down at the brewery, don't you?
Yep.
We do now, yeah.
Yeah.
As of last year, we finally opened our doors up to
like a 45-minute tour or so?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. So they get to, are they walking around with one of you and getting to, or are they watching you while you're doing your job? Is that kind of how that goes?
Mostly watching us while we work.
Right. I was going to say, yeah, there's not a lot of pausing.
If you come by, say hi. I'll wave back.
Yeah, okay. All right.
There's
that's
a sign
cool.
in the tap room that says, don't feed the lab.
Nice. I like that. Well, and then the tap room is open all, you know, regular hours during the week and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
it's open Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday only. Okay.
2 to 8 p.m.
And okay.
Saturday and Sunday from noon to 6.
Okay, so the time that I was there, I thought it was open every day. So it's 2 to 8 on which days? Thursday and Friday. Okay, all right. And then there's a Goose Island Tap Room. There's a you guys do a lot of events as well, and you're raising a glass to men's health. A night of specialty tapping, straight razor shaves, and a silent auction. And then proceeds will benefit the Movember Foundation, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Which both of you are sporting. Obviously.
A little bit.
Just two of you.
All
two of you as well.
Two out of three.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I'll tell you again, Bourbon County Stout released this Friday, and you got to check it out. And if you know, people are waiting in line for this, but you can find it. And it's really the most unique, wonderful, and I'm going to say experience. It's an art, I think, what you guys do with Bourbon County.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is Tim Faith, Emily Cosmo, and Bill Savage. And my thanks also to Rob Martier and Sam Panianovich. Thanks, guys, as well. And we'll see you later today.
Yeah. Cheers.
All right. Thank you. To you as well. All right. It's 720 WGN.